Good evening, I'm Dave Benninger with the local news on KDLG for Friday, November 14th. Listeners in Dillingham have probably noticed the poor conditions of roads in our community. There are several road and bridge projects underway and upcoming, but waiting means residents have to deal with bumpy commutes and often cracked windshields. We sent KDLG's Thea Card to find out more.
Well, it looks like it's improved considerably here, and I'm taking my...
Dillingham resident Dan Dunaway drove me down Kanackanack Road, slowly, very slowly. It had been raining all day and the snow and ice had melted away. Dunaway said this was improvement.
And for up until just recently, it held up pretty well, and then it started humping and heaving over there.
There are giant holes in the road, no guardrails, it was muddy and bumpy. Even in its quote-unquote improved state, it felt like the world's least fun and most uncomfortable roller coaster. Cars and even big trucks that can usually withstand anything stopped on either side of the road, then inched across, trying to not destroy the frames of the vehicles or the passengers inside. The Alaska Department of Transportation is working on resurfacing the road from D Street to Squaw Creek. DOT media liaison Jill Reese says this was not a cheap project.
It looks like that was almost a $12 million project.
She says the road should be finished next spring. However, as of right now, the state doesn't have a plan on facilitating any kind of winter safety precautions.
You know, I think some of the hesitation is because there was some a new guardrail configuration, and the temporary nature of the road, it seems like it's more narrow. When you actually get out and measure it, it's not. But the perception is that it's more narrow. A lot of it is just that, you know, it's driver responsibility to slow down and drive according to the road conditions and realize that this is a temporary overlay on a construction project. You really need to take that into consideration and slow down even more than you normally would.
However, Reese says DOT is adding a light for the road at the community's request. But that, just like the rest of the construction, will have to wait until spring. In Dillingham, I'm Thea Card.
Down to grade and paved it this year, and I think that's why their paving equipment wasn't over here this fall.
It's going to be a busy weekend for middle and high school sports in the region. We spoke with Dillingham Activities Director Mike Larson a little bit earlier today.
Oh man, alive. Busy is a good word for it. We've got a lot going on this weekend. Our varsity volleyball and junior varsity volleyball is up in Kliegnik for a tournament up there. We've got a middle school volleyball tournament here with six teams coming in today. So we'll have action all afternoon into late evening tonight and most of the day tomorrow. So we're going to start at about 8:30 in the morning tomorrow. So we want to invite people to come down and see that. Middle school volleyballs, it's pretty crazy. It's a lot of fun to watch.
And the middle school volleyball has been going on this evening down at the gym. Parents and fans are welcome to attend. The wrestling teams are also heading out to destinations near and far for the weekend.
We've got two loads going over to Manicotic and another group of kids with Jason Dye going over to Bristol Bay for some wrestling action over there with their middle schoolers. And then the varsity wrestlers with Willie and Jared are off to Nikiski for a tournament over there. So everybody's either here in action or on the road. Everybody's doing something this weekend.
As of earlier today, Larson said the weather cooperated just enough to get most of the planes in on time.
You know, weather's a little gnarly out there, but so far we're on schedule.
Good.
Amazingly so. Feel good about that.
And Mike Larson will bring us a rundown of the weekend's events next Monday on the Bristol Bay Sports Roundup. Tune in Monday 3:30 and 6:30 on AM 670. You can hear it re-aired at 8:30 p.m. on 89.9 FM. Senator Lisa Murkowski has called upon the Department of Defense Office of Inspector General to re-examine the conclusion of its investigation into the Alaska National Guard. The department concluded that the allegations of sexual assault and misconduct within the Guard to be unsubstantiated. Murkowski wrote a letter to the department asking it to re-examine its evidence. There's been a shakeup in leadership at the Bering Strait School District. The BSSD Board of Education has placed Superintendent Brett Agenbrod on administrative leave, and they've appointed Bobby Bolin as acting superintendent until a permanent hire is made. The decision was announced during last week's board meeting in Anchorage. Agenbrod had been with the district for a year and a half and will be on leave until his contract ends next June 2015. Board members did not provide comment on why this decision was made. The Norton Sound 450, a relatively new mid-distance sled dog race along the western coast of Alaska, will happen next year. That's according to an announcement from race organizers. The mid-distance race, which is officially dubbed the Paul Johnson Memorial Norton Sound 450, was first run back in 2012, but it was significantly shortened in 2013 due to severe weather, and it was canceled outright this past year for a variety of reasons. But an announcement from race organizers on Thursday confirmed that the race will return in full. Mushers will run from Unalakleet to Kaltag and back before tracing the Iditarod Trail through Norton Sound coastal communities from Shaktulik to Koyuk, Elam, Golovin, and White Mountain, ultimately wrapping up the race in Nome. The race is set to start Wednesday, February 11th. Healthcare.gov, the federally run website for buying health insurance, is calculating subsidies incorrectly for Alaskans, this on the eve of open enrollment. Healthcare broker Enroll Alaska says the window shopping tool on healthcare.gov is currently broken. Amy Crocker is Enroll Alaska's operations manager.
The subsidy is actually being calculated on a lower plan than what it should be or what we think it should be.
Crocker says Enroll Alaska is working with the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, but hasn't been given a timeline for when the technical issue will be resolved. Until it is, she says the firm is holding off on enrolling anyone eligible for a subsidy.
We'll still be able to have conversations with people about what their potential subsidy would be, as well as plan designs and plan options, but we're not going to be completing their individual's enrollment until we have confirmation that that's been corrected.
Crocker says individuals not eligible for subsidies can complete enrollment. During the last open enrollment period, which ended in the spring, Crocker says Enroll Alaska signed up about 2,700 Alaskans for health insurance. She says the firm got more interest than anticipated during the restricted enrollment period and signed up as many as 50 people each month.
There was a consistent interest in what people's options were as far as if somebody was losing employer coverage, moving to Alaska, or people with COBRA.
Crocker says Enroll Alaska agents are booked this weekend through next week. Open enrollment lasts through February 15th. The Kuskokwim River is experiencing a rare November breakup. Temperatures were cold earlier this month, but over the past few days, they've been up into the 50s. KYUK's Daisha Eaton has more.
Selena Van Breuklin is a hydrologist with the National Weather Service and the River Forecast Center in Anchorage. She says they've had reports of the ice moving at Napaimute and at Aniak.
There seems to be some sort of a localized breakup that's happening at some locations on the river. We don't expect it to have a flood impact. We don't think that the ice is thick enough or that the water levels are high enough to really create a flood event. More of just some local breaking up that's happening.
The situation has thousands of residents in a transportation standstill as they wait for the Kuskokwim to freeze into a safe road for travel. Van Breuklin says the forecast calls for temperatures to begin dropping below freezing at night, and that should slow down melting.
That should help slow this process down a lot. Not expecting to see a lot of new precip that's going to add a significant amount of water into the river. And there shouldn't really be a lot more snow to melt. So not expecting to see much more inputs into the river over the next few days.
Mark Leary, who lives in Napaimute, says this is the third time he's seen a November breakup. Besides this year, it happened in 2002 and again in 2010. He says it's different than a spring one, especially how it sounds.
It sounds like rocks moving. There's no needle ice like in the springtime to soften some of the sound. Rocks tumbling down a hillside, rocks splitting, rocks grinding. The difference now, you know, as opposed to a spring breakup, the night is long, you know. You don't know what's happening during the night. You know, it's like 14 hours of darkness. You don't know what's going on. You can hear it, but you don't know, and it's a little bit scary.
Leary says although the National Weather Service is not calling for flooding now, if ice jams form near villages and refreeze, it could mean trouble this spring.
That's what happened to Crooked Creek. You know, in 2010, it broke up in November, right around Thanksgiving, and then it jammed a few miles below their village and refroze. And boy, that jam was, you know, hard as a rock. So the next spring, 2011, that jam couldn't melt as fast as the regular ice. And that's what caused the new jam in the spring of 2011 that hit Crooked Creek really hard.
A pilot with the Alaska State Troopers flew the Kuskokwim River to assess the extent of the breakup and reports an ice jam below Aniak. National Weather Service officials say some local surges of water are expected as the ice runs. They say people should move belongings and equipment away from the river, but they don't expect high enough water to impact homes or roads. Alaska State Troopers are warning people not to travel on the river. In Bethel, I'm Daisha Eaton.
The Alaska Dispatch is reporting that an active aurora borealis is expected this weekend, Friday and Saturday, visible overhead from Barrow to Anchorage and Juneau, and low on the horizon near King Salmon. On Sunday, highly active displays should be visible over much of the state from Barrow to Bethel, Dillingham, and Ketchikan, and again low on the horizon in King Salmon. According to the forecast from UAF's Geophysical Institute, you can see more details at their website. And in parting tonight, a few final thoughts about the murder trial of Leroy Dick Jr. It's been a few days now since the jury handed down a guilty verdict on the charge of first-degree murder, and all who were present for the trial are still likely digesting the experience. It was, in a word, remarkable. Remarkable, one, for how well the parties conducted themselves. The state had the right man for the job with Greg Olson, the prosecutor. He was never dramatic and never patronized the jurors. He padded around the courtroom, skillfully recreating the details of that tragic day, March 19, 2013. The jurors learned that Tom Madol and another trooper had been together in Manicotic that morning, and they saw a picture of the two officers with a passel of smiling children at the school hours before Madol lay dead in the snow. Remarkable that Leroy Dick and his attorneys never attempted to argue that Leroy had not been the one to pull the trigger that day. His attorneys also did a fine job, treated witnesses respectfully, no doubt currying favor with the jury by doing so. It was remarkable also that the defense never argued that mental health issues contributed to Leroy's inexplicable violence. We had all suspected or expected that they might have done this. Leroy was calm and always polite and stared mostly at the ground during the trial. I didn't think that there was anything more remarkable than the audio tape of the murder itself. The killing was captured crystal clear by Tom Madol's audio recorder. Never have I, or probably anyone else in the courtroom, heard such violence. It was personal and intimate and haunting. To hear Tom's screams of agony after the first shots rang out, then footsteps approaching as Leroy comes close to take the final shot, and then silence. Once was more than I would have cared to hear that, but we heard it twice. I think even Judge Greg Miller was moved emotionally at that second hearing. Leroy's violence that day illuminates human nature in a way most of us might choose to ignore. In the coldest of blood, with no forewarning, he executed a man with whom he had had no qualms, a man he might have previously called friend. Tired of being persecuted by friends, tired of a lonely existence, tired of being a nobody, Leroy became a somebody in a white-hot flash of pure evil. We know evil from Cormac McCarthy and William Faulkner, from beheadings in the Middle East, from school shootings. But we forget that it can live right next door, just below the surface of a person we barely know, maybe we're afraid to know. After killing Tom, Leroy cleaned his rifle and locked it away, and patiently waited for authorities to come an hour later and take him away. I thought the audio tape of his evil act was the most remarkable part of the trial, but I was wrong. Just after the jury's verdict was delivered, a brief scene unfolded in the atrium of the courthouse that painted a much different story. There, the stoic widow of the slain officer and the grieving mother of the convicted killer, leaving the dreary court on a dreary day, stopped and embraced, consoling one another for their separate but somewhat shared pain. There wasn't bitterness, there wasn't anger, and there was no remnant of the savage evil that had brought the two women together. There was only the best of our peculiar humanity between them, and that was the most remarkable event of the trial. That will do it for us this week. In Dillingham, I'm Dave Benninger. Thank you for tuning in. Have a safe weekend. We'll see you back here Monday.